everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. And together, Ray and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, getting things rolling down the track on this newly minted Thursday afternoon, February 11th, 2016, coming to you via Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, and we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have our podcasts, thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure that the day's shows get up usually an hour or two at their conclusion, and we've got all of our programs in the archive, pretty much all of the shows we've done in this project that is now into its 6th year. So that's available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We have a very full hour of content for you, as usual. We'll begin with a conversation with Pima County District 5 Supervisor Democrat Richard Elias. Then at 12:30, Dr. Mark Sneller makes a return visit to the Buckmaster Show. My allergies have started up, and I want to find out from Dr. Sneller, is because of this hot weather we're having, unseasonably warm weather, does that mean an early spring allergy season? Then we're going to wrap up the show with historian Ken Scoville, and he'll preview Fort Lowell Day celebration this Saturday. Man, there is a lot to do this weekend. We talked yesterday about with the chair of the Gem and Mineral Society, their main event at the TCC, and then they got Fort Lowell. Lots to do this weekend. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, for your calls, questions, comments, and if you have suggestions, we're always open to that as well. And we invite you to become a friend of our show. Our goal is 5,000 friends on Facebook. We're about 400 away from that. I think it's doable for 2016. That's kind of one of my goals that I set. In addition, you can follow us at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. And we welcome now Richard Elias. Richard, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill, and good afternoon to everyone listening. And it's always great to be here on the Buckmaster Show. Like you said, tons of stuff to do this weekend in Tucson.
But I mean, it's primetime tourism season.
Absolutely. But I got another thing that I think people should do.
What's that?
It's Valentine's Day this weekend. Mm-hmm. I would suggest to everybody to go out and buy a book for your kid, for your grandkids, and sit down and read it with them, because this is Love of Reading Week.
Yes.
And it's really a great thing to read to children, and it helps nurture them. It helps build their ability to be creative. And frankly, it's just fun. So read to some children. Take a chance to stop and think about all the great gifts that reading gives us all, and convey that on to a young person. I think that's a good thing to do this weekend.
I think it's a wonderful thing to do. Books are not an endangered species. No way. Read to your children. It is important. Congratulations to the Elias family. Your father, Richard Albert, was honored last night by the Arizona AFL-CIO with a really beautiful Lifetime Achievement Award, and this is something that is very honorable for you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And my dad was in his union for more than 60 years, and it's quite a legacy for all of us to live up to, but he lived by those ideas and those values, and he instilled them in me and in my brother and in my sister as well, and we live by those values. And also, he was a great businessman. Mm-hmm. His business, Old Pueblo Printers, was working for 49 years. They outlasted Alpha Graphics. They outlasted Copy Boy.
Wow.
All that corporate move into printing. And I'm convinced it's because of this, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was a really funny guy. And when he'd get off a good joke, he'd look at you and he'd smile at you. And that smile made you feel all the love of the universe right there. And it made you feel special. And he converted that into goodwill in his business. And he always had a steady stream of customers because of that. That's a good businessman. That's what we need in America. Somebody who stands by their values, their ideals, and lives it every day, but also has the good sense to be kind and loving to their business associates, their friends, and their family.
Yeah, and I saw on Facebook, I think that Barrio Stories, which is a project about kind of the old-time area of Tucson and the Barrio, they have dedicated Barrio Stories. I saw that this morning on Facebook to your dad.
That's right. And there's going to be a performance by Borderlands Theater. Mm-hmm. Next month, mm-hmm. and it will be dedicated to my dad and his memory. And I'm just so lucky to have had Albert Elias as my father, and the gifts that he gave my mom and my brother and my sister and me just can't be measured, you know. So we were lucky, and I miss him every day, and I talk to him all the time. He hasn't talked back to me yet. I don't know that he will, but
and you will see him again someday. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. This is an interactive radio show, and you are welcome to call 790-2040. Tom is with us. Hey, Tom.
Supervisor Elias, in your opinion, is it possible for the county to sell off some county assets, maybe discharge some personnel in order to bring the county budget under control, maybe balance the county balance the budget? I mean, you just mentioned your dad was a businessman. Can the county run more like a business instead of every year my property tax, everyone's property tax goes up without end? Can something be done, Supervisor Elias?
All right, thank you, Tom.
Well, thank you, Tom, for that question. I appreciate it. And
he actually brings up what was our lead topic really today about the budget. That was our main
absolutely
what we wanted to get into.
Absolutely, and you know, we do operate like a business as much as possible. There are areas where we can't do that, and largely that's the area of public safety, because we have a jail. And well, three jails and three court systems to run. Very difficult to do that because we don't know how many customers we're going to get, and it just keeps growing, and it's a very expensive proposition. However, Tom, in the last 4 years, we've lost more than 1,000 employees there at the county that have not been replaced. So I think that's been a very smart thing to do. And the state continues to abscond with more and more and more of your tax dollars. This year, the budget's the state budget that Governor Ducey has talked about and the legislature is discussing with him would remove $105 million from county primary property taxes. That's what they're taking right off the top that should be going to projects and road projects right here in Pima County.
It is a tough budget year. You've got the city announcing today saying that, you know, they've asked for people, you know, if people were going to retire, they're not apparently going to have as many that they thought. So they're looking at a real tough situation right now and quite a bit of red ink. How does the county budget look right now?
Well, we're facing a very difficult time as well. And the costs to us are tremendous right now to continuing operations at the bare bones that we've kind of been at for the last 3 or 4 years. Property taxes have increased, but I think that's related to state cost transfers and the fact that it's more expensive to do business as the economy has improved. While things were bad, we kind of were survived with vendors who charged us less for services because they needed the business. That's not happening anymore. So it's very interesting, but it is going to be a tough year for us.
Let's see if we can squeeze a call in before our first break, another call before the break. Matthew has called 790-2040 with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Go ahead, Matthew.
First of all, Richard, my wonderful congratulations to your father's award. He was a great man, and the part that always got me was he recognized you. I mean, I would see him frequently around town, and every single time he'd grab me and he'd say, "How's your parents?" You know, and I'd be like, "How does he do it? You know, how does he? He's so quick." He's missed. Real quickly, getting back to the budget, you guys, you know, I know you guys get criticized all the time. I wish the public would stop, because Chuck Okoberry is probably the smartest county administrator in the country, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I seriously mean he is working, you know, with you guys and working with the business community and constantly looking for how to best manage the most difficult budget, I think, in the country because of what the state is doing. We are in a downward trend. We've been on a downward trend for almost 5 years, and you guys have been finding ways to keep things operating. So my thing is this. Strategically, we've got to somehow, somebody has got to get to the governor and have... I think H.T. Sanchez set the standard because he was able to do it last year. Somebody has to get in a car and literally get up there and talk to the governor and explain why this is bad for counties. That's it. That's all I'm going to ask.
Thank you,
Matthew. That's a really good point, Matt. And there was a time when Southern Arizona legislators were united in their response to statewide budgets and defended Southern Arizona and defended the issue of local control, especially when it came to budgeting. And those days are gone. And so it's very difficult to find a pathway to getting to the ear of legislative leadership as well as the governor. And the governor seems to be really ruling the roost together with Andy Biggs, and that's a difficult situation for us, because I assure you that Pima County is going to end up on the short end of the stick on that one every single time, and there's countless examples. For example, this border strike force that the governor's talked about, that's $31.5 million to be spent on something that the county border sheriffs think is unnecessary. And in reality, it would be much better, according to those same sheriffs, to have the Department of Public Safety, DPS, actually patrol state highways 24/7, because guess what? They don't do that today.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. We will be right back with Richard Elias. If you would like to call and speak with Mr. Elias, 790-2040. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Yeah, and just a little follow-up to that Green Things commercial that you're going to be hearing on the Buckmaster Show. We welcome them to the portfolio of really great sponsors who believe in our work here. And Green Things, really great organization, Jack and Jan, the owners. And it's easy to find now. They've got good access right off river, 3384 East River, just west of Dodge and the river and west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. And with this kind of weather we're having, everything's starting to bloom. Green Things has huge pallets of your summer flowers. I think they call them annuals, but anyway, they've got lots of flowers over there. And Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, with us. Richard was saying during the break, I'm going to have to get over there to Green Things, because Richard, you like to do a little gardening.
I love gardening. And last year, somehow, we ended up with all these maroon and gold flowers in the yard.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I got to tell you, by fall, I was tired of thinking about ASU. So I'm going to go over and visit Jack and Jan.
Yeah, Jack and Jan, they'll take care of you at Green Things. They'll find some colors, some U of A colors, some navy and red, certainly, for your summer planting. So your neighbors don't go by the Elias house and say, "What? When did Richard become such a big supporter of Sparky and the Sun Devils?"
Well, I do love all our kids who go to ASU.
Yeah,
no doubt about that.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Richard Elias with the 790-2040. Let's face it, Pima County supervisors took lots of heat over this decision about worldview, people saying it was just nothing but a glorified, what do they say, like a carnival, a balloon carnival ride up to subspace. Is there some sound economic backing for this company?
Well, you know, I think there absolutely is, and that's really what I focused on. Not so much the potential of people floating out in space because they have a desire to go out there or the money to do it, but Worldview has contracts and has already completed 40 launches and has contracts with Lockheed and NASA in excess of $50 million That's real hard business that they're doing right now. And I got to tell you, our region can use the 400 employees that they're going to hire. And the investment that we made or will be making is going to be repaid in 20 years. And the county's going to make $10 million out of it. Not a bad deal when you think of all the subsidies that we've used to subsidize Hughes and Raytheon over the years and its different incarnations. Those are sound investments. They've created jobs and stability here in our community. And I think Worldview is going to do the same thing. And it is a growth industry. It is a bit of a hard thing to fathom. But we've got to understand that the world economy is changing and business is changing. And Tucson better start moving in the direction of attracting good businesses that are clean industries, and those related to aerospace and the space industry are a good place for Tucson to be given our climate and the existing business infrastructure.
How about horse racing, Rita? Horse racing's back, right?
Absolutely, and we're glad to have it back. It's very critical to us, has a great, long, noble history here. But we're really intent, the Board of Supervisors is very clear and very intent on seeing that Rito remains a shared-use facility.
With
and
the
it's
soccer,
not just
yeah.
soccer.
Okay.
Soccer's important to us. It's mm-hmm. very important to us. Our youth and those teams are critical. But also we have farmers markets and other events that go on out there. This is a shared-use, multifaceted facility that I think serves the public well, and we need to make sure that those folks who are involved in horse racing stay employed, because you all and your jobs are important to us.
Yeah, I mean, you've got everything from the Celtic Festival. You mentioned the farmers market has really, really been taken off, hasn't it? It's very popular.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very important. And it serves a dual function of serving the issue of public health well. We need to eat more organic food. And we, frankly, should grow it in our own homes, too. Mm-hmm. And that's very effective. And I know a lot of young kids on the South Side in particular are interested in urban farming and making a big difference in how they go about providing their family healthy food to eat.
So this current racing season is covered for sure, and next year as well, I believe.
It's, yes,
so
it's through a 2-year contract.
It's a 2-year deal through June 30th, 2017. But the questions are going to remain. You know, what's the future?
Well, and I think we want to see how well Ryuta Park Foundation continues to operate. They did a good job last season. We look forward to this season being a success as well. And then we might be able to look at something that might give them the stability to attract some different kind of grant funds to that facility to help try and improve it.
Richard Elias with us, 790-2040. We can sneak in another call if you'd like to call. The Pima County, I know the jail population has been an issue. Pima County's trying to get a grant to avoid jail overcrowding. How does it look for getting that? It's a $3
million. It looks good. Grant. You know, we got a planning grant, and we're now seeking about $3 million in funding from the John and Catherine MacArthur Foundation. Basically, it's this. Jail is the most expensive option for housing inmates, and it makes their mindset worse. They become better criminals. We need to reduce the amount of people being locked up for failure to appear. And it sounds simple, and it is serious when you don't obey a court's ruling, but guess what? A few more calls, a few more texts, making sure people know what their responsibilities are is going to cut back on failure to appear. You can make a difference without incarcerating people for failure to appear. And the other thing is, we need people to keep on working while they're paying back their debt to society. If they're in adult detention for 24/7, guess what? That's not happening. The difference between home detention and electronic monitoring is this. $15 a day for home detention and electronic monitoring versus $85 a day for a jail bed.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah, talk about cutting. If this grant could knock down about 20% of the jail population, that would be huge.
I think that goes back to Tom's question at the beginning of our interview today about ways we can control our expenses better.
Yeah, and speaking of law enforcement, tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, Christopher Magnus, he is the new police chief in the city of Tucson. He will sit down with us here in studio on the Buckmaster Show. So we'll look forward to that. And Supervisor Elias, again, congratulations to your family on the Lifetime Achievement Award from the AFL-CIO, the Arizona chapter, to your father, recognizing your late father for all the service that he put forward for this community and really was an inspiration for many of the working people in our community. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that, Bill. And you know what? You're an inspiration to a lot of people, too, on just getting news out to people in a balanced, fair way. And we should never underestimate the value of that.
Well, thank you very much. We have no axe to grind here on Buckmaster. We want to inform people about what's going on. That is our mission. And it continues talking about spring allergy season with Dr. Mark Sneller right after this.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here.
Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert. Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another 5-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverde Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a 5-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow. It will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
5-Star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ 5-Star Pest Control's Pigeon Trapping and Exclusion Program, and you will be pleased. Whew. Getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call 5-Star at 886-0045 and visit 5startermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview with Tucson's new police chief, Christopher Magnus. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has our weekend watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. With this weather like this, time for a road trip over to Silver City, only 3 hours east of Tucson. Can you imagine how beautiful it would be over there, that mile-high elevation? And what a perfect weekend this would be to go visit the world-famous Gila National Monument, the cliff dwellings over there just north of Silver City. Great places to stay, like Wilderness Lodge. The many things to do, the many places to stay, all listed on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We send so many of our listeners here on the Buckmaster Show over to that beautiful part of the southwestern United States, southwest corner there of New Mexico. And we're just delighted that Silver City is one of our fine sponsors. We are in the midst of what appears to be an early spring. Temperatures near a record breaking this week. My goodness, mid-80s in mid-February? Now, does that translate into an early start to the spring allergy season? That will be one of my questions in a moment for Dr. Mark Sneller. Dr. Sneller, founder of Aeroallergen Research, and he is the author of Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air, a very popular book that's available on Amazon. He's got a new book coming out. He's delving into fiction, and this is a book that will be out in a couple of weeks called Toxic Exposure. Dr. Sneller was Pima County's former official pollen and mold monitor until budget cuts ended, unfortunately, that monitoring program. I'd love to bring that back. Dr. Sneller, how are you?
I'm just excellent, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Are we in for an early spring? When does typically the allergy season start? Late March?
Well, if you're looking at, well, first let's tell about what we're not to be concerned with, and that would be mold. Mold is not really an issue for us unless there's indoor water damage and all of that kind of thing. But outdoors, February is the lowest mold month of the year, and it's incredibly low compared with other parts of the nation. And then it slowly, slowly, slowly increases until we get into the rainy season. So really we're looking at pollen. And so how are we going to get a double whammy, which is a possibility? The first reason that we may get that is because we could have a speed up of the pollen season, as you suggested, meaning warm weather will trigger earlier flowering in the trees and even in the weeds, ragweed and the various grasses. Those latter respond to rainfall in the winter,
which we had in
January. Yeah. We had some rainfall,
yeah,
and so that should trigger plenty of grass and ragweed for us. The rest of the trees are going to be coming in. They should, if we maintain this weather, they should be coming in earlier. And, excuse me,
yes.
The dryness, the dry weather tends to make us more sensitive. Just on a human basis, we're each a little bit more sensitive. So if you have allergies, then you'll be more sensitive to the allergens.
Well, we have a beautiful African sumac tree in the backyard, and it's been blooming like you wouldn't believe, but I've been really feeling it. I'm a little bit sensitive to that, and I've tried to take your advice. Don't track the pollen into the house, uh-huh, if at all possible.
Yeah. And many of us have trees in our yards. Sumac is not one of your top tier types, But if you are a sensitive person, then a lot of exposure for one particular plant, even though it has low allergenic potential, can trigger it. And this could mean sumac, it could mean eucalyptus, it could be palm, date palms, I mean, all these kind of things. They don't produce a lot of pollen, but if again, if you're hammered with it, then you can react.
How has the urbanization of Tucson changed the way the pollen picture? And I know that you have actually written in a scientific paper on this, The Annals of Allergy. So you actually were looking at 5 decades of urbanization in Tucson and how it has changed pollen.
Yes, I was very fortunate to be senior author along with Dr. Jacob Pinnis and Harry Hayes, who is no longer with us, a longtime resident. And Harry collected the data, and Jack put together the data in computerized graphics, and then I wrote the text for the document, and it got accepted to the medical journal. And graphically, we show in that document how almost 50 years ago, the pollens were, you could put them as a straight line. And over time, they grew into blips and bumps and bigger bumps and bigger blips until they rose tremendously, each and every pollen type that was registered. And then a bunch of new ones started coming in as we started planting new things, including ash and sycamore and maple and some other types.
Yeah, and it was going back to the railway days, the Southern Pacific Railway line through Tucson. By 1980, made possible the importation of large numbers of kind of ornamental plants from the East, Midwest, and California, and that's really what started the whole pollen thing.
Well, that coincided as well. You're right, and it coincided with the time of the age, as it will, as people started migrating to Tucson in vast quantities. Vast numbers. And so we wanted a greener community, you know, the same old story that we see repeated. That said, however, things have kind of stabilized because of the Pima County Ordinance 1984-29, which I was part of its inception. And that ordinance demanded that no more olive trees should be planted in the county unless they are of a specific variety that don't produce pollen, and that we only have female mulberry trees and that kind of situation. So the outlying areas then theoretically lack those trees, and I say theoretically because we don't really know who's buying what anymore or where it's going because there's no monitoring program.
I want to talk about your new book that's going to be coming out. It's called Toxic Exposure. This is a fictional book.
It's a fictional book. It's based on real experiences, and it's about a scientist who's a university professor and a microbiologist, and he runs a side business of monitoring homes, he gets sued by a home owner because he didn't find mold in the home. And that person wanted there to be a mold problem, and she was sick of this and that and everything in the earth made. And she just knows that there's mold in her house, and she doesn't care what he says. So she finds herself a dysfunctional attorney and a dysfunctional medical doctor and a dysfunctional scientist to back up her claim and support her contention that because he didn't find any mold in her house, that's why she's dying. And there's a side issue to that where there's a school teacher as a backstory where there's a school teacher who also has been planning to bring down society by making claims that mold in her school made her sick. And so the scientist then is caught up in this rap.
A mystery thriller.
Mystery thriller, yeah.
Well, sounds fun. And it's going to be available on Amazon?
Amazon will have it in soft cover available if you like to hold a book. Or it'll also be available at a lesser price for their electronic download as well.
I also suggest our friends check out Facebook because you've got a very active Facebook page posting all sorts of good information. You just put out something about the top 4 cleaning products around the house, and I think vinegar was up there, wasn't it?
Vinegar was the first one that I mentioned.
First one that you mentioned. Uh-huh. And tremendous uses for something that we take so for granted, vinegar.
Vinegar is an antibacterial. You mm-hmm. can't claim it is because it's a natural product the way the rules and regulations are written. And yet it's a tremendous disinfectant. It'll destroy viruses. It'll destroy bacteria. We use it on hard surfaces like you would use chlorine bleach, but it doesn't have the toxic effects on people and on the sinuses. If you can stand the smell for a little while, but you can use it to wipe down your microwave handles and doors and refrigerator handle doors, countertops to get rid of salmonella like that.
Some people actually use it as a deodorant, a natural deodorant
That's true too. Yeah. So there are hundreds of uses.
Yep. Dr. Mark Sneller with us, and Dr. Sneller's book that is already out and very popular. It's even published over in Korean. There's a Korean edition, Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air. This book is full of wonderful information about keeping the house cleaner and greener. And then the new book coming out from Dr. Mark Sneller, it'll be out in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a mystery thriller called Toxic Exposure. Mark, always good to see you. We'll look for your work on Facebook.
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Thanks a lot. Back right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amori on the web at viroamori.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We welcome historian Ken Scoville. Ken is one of the 24 or so regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show, the full listing at buckmastershow.com. And Ken, it was very interesting to hear from allergist Dr. Mark Sneller talking about when the Southern Pacific, and he wrote about this, came to town in 1880, and that meant bringing people wanted vegetation like they had back east or over in California.
Oh, yes, very much so. Everybody came off the railroad and they looked at the adobe buildings and they said, we can't live in that. We've got to have a Victorian house. We've got to have a lawn in the front. Bermuda came in about 1891, but everybody started importing trees because they loved the weather, but you wanted your house to look like Michigan or Vermont or Chicago, Midwest. And if you're in the El Presidio Historic District, you can see this parade of architectural styles and greater landscape. I think the other fascinating thing about this, up until the late 1920s, there was just a fixed rate for water. You could use as much water as you wanted every month, and everybody paid the same amount. So we were promoting growth at all costs.
So we're bringing in all this vegetation. Of course, for the vegetation to survive, you got to have water, and then the whole thing started to spiral.
The whole denial of the desert, and then finally by the 1950s, we reached this apex where water starts becoming a concern, and people want to have green, that we went from lawns to green gravel.
Big event coming up. The Old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association sponsors this event. It's the 35th annual Fort Lowell Day celebration coming up on Saturday. This is going to be a very busy weekend over there at Fort Lowell. And you think about Fort Lowell, and it really mirrors the history of Arizona, that post.
Well, and I think people just think of the fort aspect, but we have all the cultural layers that you would actually see in Arizona. And culture really starts because there was a water source. The Rito or the Pantano and the Tangaverde confluent, that this has started cultures where Hohokam sites from like 800-900 A.D. Then this was other native people. I'm sure Father Kino, being the cartographer that he was, came through there with the Spanish era, all the way up to the 1870s when we finally get the military. You know, the military actually moved from downtown in 1873 because they were shooting up the town too much and hanging out at the red light district too much. So they said, we like your federal money and we want our protection, but why don't you move a little farther out
of town? And that's how Fort Lowell wound up on that, what was out of town in those days.
Yes, it was sort of it became in the 1880s sort of an exotic day trip to go out and have a picnic, listen to a band concert. And one of the great events among many this coming Saturday is they have a reenactment a band concert and uniforms and music that the people at the post would have enjoyed.
Well, they have a lot of activities over there at Fort Lowell Day, and they're going to have a neighborhood flea market sale. They're going to have a special observance for the little sanctuary that's over there.
You mean the La Capilita?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and this is another impact, as you see all across Arizona, missionaries coming in and the entrance of Catholicism. Well, whenever a community had a priest visiting a little more often, they would build a capilita, a little tiny adobe building in the desert regions that was just big enough for the priest to get in. And then what happened in the neighborhood, more people, more convergence. In the 1920s, the neighborhood was called El Fuerte Village, and we had Mexican farmers there, and then they finally built what we today think of as the San Pedro Chapel.
How's the restoration coming over there?
Well, most of the restorations are doing surprisingly well, considering some other issues going on in Tucson. I think everybody should really make sure to go over and look at the restored officers' headquarters from 1873. It's just on the west side of Craycroft, just a little north of Fort Lowell. That will be open, and you can really see what a restoration is. And that's That building was in danger for 20 years, and it finally got put back together, and it was one of many great things. I would also tell people to make sure you see the commissary building. That's going to be open. You'll be able to see some of the rooms of that also.
A lot of talk about what kind of switch gears here over to Broadway Village. Maybe you can give us an update on that, Ken Schofield.
Well, Broadway Village was our first really destination shopping center that John Murphy and Helen Murphy put together in 1939, designed by Josias Jostler. And that's been a landmark and have had different uses and expansions. The current developer that's in there, and it's complications with the city and the communication, but they are destroying the facade and the history of the place. They have now sliding glass doors like you would find in any Safeway as an entrance into the Broadway Village. So they've just carved out the original openings. Those of us in the preservation and adaptive reuse kind of orientation, it's fine to have a sliding door for people in scooters or our disability issues that want to come into the market, but you don't do that on the front side of the building. It's out of control. We're losing the authentic history of Broadway Village.
How about Centennial Park?
Well, Centennial Park is a nice little treat coming up this Friday at 3:30. They're dedicating this little pocket park that's on Main Avenue just north of Alameda, just a little north of the Tucson Museum of Art, so people get a listen. And it's really dedicated to Christopher Carroll, but also Jerry Talon, who came up with the idea, and it's celebrating our centennial of Arizona, but really gives you a little sense of place, and it's a wonderful gathering spot. I will be there, and they're still doing some fundraising, but a real surprising nice little park.
So our centennial for the Valentine State, we were admitted to the Union on Valentine's Day in
1912.
How time flies,
1912.
Right? Yeah, so my goodness, so the Centennial Park.
Well, but it took us several years, and we had to deal with the city. Everybody can relate with that. But it's finally got together. It was a fundraising effort. The city did help. The city did come up with some other funding issues and the Tucson Parks and Recreation, but it's a nice little park.
So New Mexico was after then Arizona?
Well, we're considered the baby state. So okay. New Mexico first.
Oh, New Mexico first.
If we have time, the nice little politics about how we ended up on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, well, let's hear it.
Okay.
We've got a minute.
Good. Yeah. Well, president of that time, Taft, he thought, and this is strange for today's world, Arizona was becoming too radical with the progressive movement because we wanted direct democracy. We wanted initiative, referendum, and recall. And he would not hear about the idea of recall of judges because he was a judge earlier on. So the only way we could become a state is to take that out. So we take the recall out, and then we start, the timing is now, well, maybe we can do it on the 13th, but that's bad luck. We'll make it on the 14th. So that's how we ended up that day. As soon as we met after we became a state on our state legislature, we put recall back in.
And we're going to talk more about history on Tuesday, still kind of keeping with the birthday of Arizona, which is coming up on Sunday. We're going to talk with Jack August. Jack is now the Arizona historian for the state, and he's working out of the Secretary of State's office.
Oh,
so that's going to be interesting
to
hear from Jack. And we'll also have Governor Ducey on that show on Tuesday. So that's going to be a big show for us. So getting back to Old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association, my friend Tom Collier and his lovely wife Bev have been very involved with that. Tom actually put together a video of that. And I know this is a neighborhood celebration that people get together, and they really want to show off the history of this area.
Very much so. In fact, I think it might be the best event we have all year for us to get a sense of place. Regional building materials out of adobe, how people adapted to the desert. In fact, the Mexican farmers that moved in after the fort closed actually rebuilt and readapted the fort buildings for their usages. And so part of this is called a reunion tour, and actual descendants from the El Fuerte village still show up. And the other little detail, if you go in the older portion of Fort Lowell Road, just west of Sawn, you see a little cemetery there. And that is is the cemetery for the El Fuerte village, and that's preserved and protected.
And also, there are a lot of Mormon settlers there.
Yes,
right?
Just a little bit farther to the west, but also, yeah, everybody's attracted to the water. That's the name of the game.
They're even going to have a vintage baseball game, which was going to be kind of neat. I guess the military brought baseball to Tucson.
Right, well, yeah. They still had lives. They actually played with the different forts. Yeah. They had baseball teams and competed against each other between fighting Apaches.
All right, so it all gets underway over at Fort Lowell Park on Saturday, bright and early. Things will be going on all day over
and
there.
And 12 to 4 is the real heart of it, to make sure.
Thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you. All right, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another one of our, we do 6 hours of local talk here Monday through Friday. Mike's show from 4 to 5, one of those 6 hours. Tomorrow morning, we kick it off doing 4 hours, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe with their program 6 to 8. Then Christy Simone sticks around with a different guest host every day from 8 to 9. Then Sean McCluskey, his program is called Talk of the Town. My program is easy to remember. It's my last name, Buckmaster, and we're back with you tomorrow at 12:04. We'll be talking with the new police chief, Christopher Magnus. Until then, Ray Allen, my wonderful producer, engineer, and I wish you a great afternoon and evening.